Okay, me too. Okay, take your Bibles. Turn to 2 Corinthians. That's my wife's phone. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In the past couple of weeks, we've talked about faithfulness and looked at some people in the Word. Wow, that's exciting. Looked at Abraham and Moses and their faithfulness, and a little bit at Paul and his faithfulness, and how God just respects faithfulness. And it's really all about believing God, not just in a crisis situation or when you have a big need, but it's really about believing God consistently day to day in everything you do. It's pretty simple. And today we're going to look at how to, or some things concerning building a godly life. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is where we're going to begin. And of course, Corinthians is written to who?
The church.
The church, yeah, the saints. And verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," or a new creation. We know that Adam and Eve were created, made and formed as having body, soul, and spirit, right? And that Adam, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sinned, they lost spirit. And so when we get born again, we have God's Spirit created within us, where we become a new creation. It says, "All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So we are a new creation, but we are a new creation where?
In Christ.
Pardon me?
In Christ.
In Christ, yeah. And we have that Spirit. We still have the same mind, right? When we get born again, we still have the same body, unfortunately, and we still live in the same old world, don't we? And so all that stuff is still there, but we become new creations in Christ Jesus. It says, "And all things are of God," or by God, "who hath reconciled to himself us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation." Now let's go to Romans chapter 12. So now, we still have that same mind, but God says we can do something with it. We can only do so much with the body. It says in Timothy, I believe, or Peter, I can't remember, where it says exercise profits for a little time. I mean, it'll help you out, but no matter what you do, you don't stem the effects of time and age. You can only fight it off so long. Eventually, it overtakes you. But we do have a promise of a new body at the return, right? But it does say something about our minds. And we go to chapter 12 of Romans, and verse 1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You know, in the Old Testament, they did sacrifices, but they were what kind of sacrifices? Dead. They killed the animal. You know, they killed it, and then they sacrificed it. And they did burnt sacrifices and things like that. We are to be living sacrifices, meaning we give our lives to God. And then it says, "And be not conformed to this world." And that world is age, this age. And really, the world has not changed a whole lot since Adam fell. Except in the fact that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and the new birth is available. But the world itself, pretty much the same. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. That's what the word tells us. It's going to get worse. There's nothing you can do to prevent the world from degradation, from ruin. But there is something we can do with our minds. And it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are to be transformed by renewing your mind. And you renew your mind to what? God's word. What it says. What it says about you. What it says about life. What it says about how we live. What it says about how we are to think. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's in contrast. We're to, you know, we're not to be conformed to this world, but in contrast, we are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's quite a nice contrast. So we renew our mind. The how of renewing our mind is to put God's word on. You know, we as human beings build incredible structures and labyrinths. You know what a labyrinth is? It's kind of like a maze. It's a twisted, intricate structure that's hard to get through. But we build structures and labyrinths in our minds many times. Remember that verse in Jeremiah where it talks about my people have committed two evils? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have made for themselves cisterns that can hold no water. Well, those cisterns that we build are not just simple structures usually, are they? We have all kinds of thoughts and ideas and habit patterns of thinking and ways we deal with things. And sometimes we don't even know where they come from. They just develop over a lifetime of experience and so on and so forth. And if you don't put the word in there, you get lost in that labyrinth many times. So to build a godly life, we have to tear out the labyrinths and the structures that are ungodly, and we have to rebuild. We have to rebuild our life based on God's word and the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, the Savior. That's what we have to do. We have to build our thought patterns, our habit patterns, our life, our thinking, our way of life based on God's word and his redeeming work that he gave us through his son, Jesus Christ. So we tear down, tear out the old crap and put in the new stuff, the good stuff. Let's go to chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. You know, I was in the Army. John was in the, what were you, in the Marines? You know what they do in the Army or the Marines? They send you to basic training. And the first thing they try to do is they try to break you down. They try to get all the resistance out of you. And they do that mostly by fear and pain. They try to scare the hell out of you. And they try to make you subject to them, and then they rebuild you, or try to rebuild you, to be obedient and disciplined and do things the way they would have you to do them. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. They tear it down, and then they build it up, you see? And that's a similar thing that we have to do. You know, when you take a class like Walking in God's Power, or many of us years ago, Power for Abundant Living, one of the first things that happens to you is that you have to root out all the old stuff that you knew. You have to unlearn stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really what we have to do. We have to unlearn stuff because so much of what we learn in God's word is contrary to what we've been taught in life or, you know, think is right or just the bad habit patterns that we have. And so we have to get rid of those. We have to unlearn those. We have to unhabitize those things. That's made up, isn't it? We have to get rid of those bad habits. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. The word war in the Aramaic is to work or toil or labor. But whether you say war or you say labor, you understand, where, you know, we deal with things in life, but the real situation is a spiritual situation. Man's basic spiritual problem is the integrity of the word. So, you know, everything has an underlying spiritual cause and effect. Then it says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, or if you want to say labor, you know, the tools of our labor or whatever, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So see what you have to do here? It says all those thoughts, all those habit patterns of thinking, all those reasonings, logics, imaginations, those labyrinths that have negatives that are opposed to God's word, you have to cast them down, get rid of them, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Pretty simple. It's what it says. It's a two-step process. Get rid of the crap and bring in the good stuff. You know, if you put bad gasoline in your car, what would you do? You know, and it wasn't working well. You'd drain the gas tank and you'd put in some good gas and clean it out. That's kind of what we have to do sometimes with our minds. Even if you've been in the Word, because if you neglect your mind, you know, if you don't maintain it, it's like a car. If you don't maintain the car, if you don't change the oil periodically, if you don't put good gasoline in it, if you don't clean the filters, then it gets all crummy. Doesn't work so well. You know, the same thing is true of with our lives and our minds. If we're not vigilant to maintain it, to get rid of the junk and keep putting in the good stuff, then we end up having problems. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That is a great verse. You know, beguiled means seduced. To seduce means to lure away. It looks good or you're tricked. It's not just, you know, it's the difference between armed robbery and getting conned out of your money. You know, when you get robbed, they point a gun at your head and they say, give me your wallet, and you're full of fear for your life, and you give up your money, and you know that something bad has happened immediately, right? When you get conned or tricked, you give your money up willingly, and you thank the person for taking it. You ever have that happen? And then you find out 6 months later, you got tricked. You see? It's the difference between, you know, rape and seduction. So Eve got seduced. She got beguiled through the subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And you know, whenever the truth, whenever you get away from the truth, it gets corrupted. You know, the devil tries to corrupt the word. So he tries to make it a little more complicated, a little more difficult, twist the meanings of words, make you think that what God says is not exactly right. It's a seduction. It takes you down the road step by step. And it ends up not being simple. You know, anytime I've ever seen people get off the word, they always find something weird that they base what they think, and it makes the word more complicated and more difficult. And, you know, the word is really simple and straightforward. The word is logical and without any ambiguity. Pretty simple. Jesus Christ said, there's no way to the Father but by me. That's pretty simple and straightforward, isn't it? You know, God says, you know, what Paul says by revelation in Thessalonians, that you don't need to know the times or the seasons when Jesus Christ will come back. Well, if you don't need to know, you don't need to know, and that's pretty simple. But there are people out there that periodically say, well, we figured out how and why, and they get into computer models, and they get into, and it becomes very, very strange and difficult, where the word is very straightforward and simple, you see? Christ is coming back, we know that, but we don't know when. And we have no need to know, because God says we have no need to know. There we are. Okay, so let's go to Ephesians. So the word is simple and straightforward. And if we're going to live a godly life and we're going to build a godly life, then we need to keep it simple and we need to tear down the old stuff, get rid of the old stuff, and we have to be vigilant with that, don't we? Mm-hmm. And just like a car, you know, it needs maintenance. Our minds need maintenance, don't they? We need to be vigilant with our minds, what we let into our minds and what we hold in our minds and what we need to get rid of and what we need to replace it with. So I looked at it. I looked at Ephesians chapter 4, which is the practical section of Ephesians, from this point of view, and we're going to start in verse 17. And what you're going to notice here is some great things. First off, in verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." You know what? If you walk like other Gentiles walk, then you're being conformed to this world. That's, you know, the Gentiles are conformed. They are this world. So they're conformed, you know, if you walk like them, then you're conformed to this world. We just read in Romans, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, to this age." Pretty simple. And they walk in the vanity of their mind. Futility, the emptiness of their mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, God writes this, and he writes it, interestingly enough, in Ephesians, which is written to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Because we can succumb to walking like this if we're not vigilant, if we're not on our game, if we're not keeping God's word in our life and our minds, right?
Right.
We can get sucked into walking like Gentiles, can't we?
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Very easily. It's as easy as falling off a log. I don't know how easy that is, but that's what they always say. Okay. And so when we do that, we have our understanding darkened. Does it just, you know, is it like lights out and we're in total darkness? No, it just gets a little darker, and it gets a little darker, and it gets a little darker. You know how at night or, you know, late in the afternoon, and especially in the summertime, and you're out a lot, and then the sun starts to go down, and, you know, all, you know, it gets dark, and all of a sudden, and you can't see. You know, it gets dark. But it's gradual, isn't it? Starts, you know, well, this time of day, it starts, what, about 6, 6:30, it starts to get. And then by 7:30, 7:45, it's pretty dark. You know, in another month or so, it'll be 9 o'clock. It'll be dark. So, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, talking about the Gentiles. You know, their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. We can get alienated from a life from God, right? Of God or godly life. We can get ignorant and our hearts can be blinded. It says so in Corinthians. It talks about people getting their hearts blinded. You know, you become calloused or hard, or, you know, you turn your back on God for whatever reason. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, inordinate lust, you know, over desires, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Okay, now verse 22 He's telling us what we are to do. We're to put off. So that putting off is like taking a shirt off or a jacket off. But, you know, sometimes for us, because these things are so ingrained in our life or our mind, it takes a little thought, a little conscious effort to put off, doesn't it? If you get into the habit pattern of doing something that's ungodly, it can just take hold in your life and be rooted, just like good things where it tells us to be rooted and grounded, right, in God's word. Well, we can be rooted and grounded in bad things too, right? We can be rooted and grounded in being unthankful. We can be rooted and grounded in holding grudges or being angry or any number of things. See, and so you have to root those things out. We're going to look at some more of this, but it says, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the way you were before you knew God's word, before you had God's word in your life. Or if you grew up with the word, don't go towards that way of life, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The word corrupt is to be led in a bad way or become in a worse state, you know, to degrade. And then it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We have to put God's word on in our mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now the new man is, we are new creations in Christ, and we, the new man spoken of in the epistles is, you know, Jew and Gentile, all part of the body of Christ. And we think in those terms, we're part of the body of Christ. How are we to bless the body of Christ? How are we to put on living as a new creation in Christ Jesus in the body of Christ? Now, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, verses 25 on is pretty interesting because it contrasts the things that we're supposed to get rid of with the things we're supposed to do. It gives us negatives that we're to get rid of and gives us positives that we're supposed to put into our lives. So, verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying. Wow. You ever have a problem with lying? I think lying is something that everybody has to deal with their whole life. You know, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. Unfortunately, we're men. So we lie. And lying is a very subtle thing, isn't it? Sometimes you think, well, if I just lie, I won't have to deal with a bad situation. Or, you know, this is really not a lie, it's just a little thing. But lying is lying. And the standard of the word is much greater than what people usually hold as lying. So, you know, if you say you're going to be somewhere at a certain time and you show up late, you've lied. Just the way it is. So then it says, gives us the alternative to lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The alternative to lying is to speak the truth. That's what we are to do. Speak the truth. We're to put off lying. We're to speak the truth. So we tear out the lying habits in our lives. We stay vigilant so that we are conscious not to lie, and we speak the truth. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Okay, you can be angry. We all get angry at times. Sometimes rightfully, right? Uh-huh. But we're not to let that anger bring us to the point of sin. And we're not to let the sun go down upon our wrath. We're supposed to get rid of that anger. You know, If you get angry about something, do it and get over with it.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
According to your word.
If somebody makes you angry, tell them. And then get over it. Move on. Don't give place to the devil. Because if you get angry and you let stuff build in your mind, the devil will... Mountain builders, we get angry, when we get upset, and we can take on Everest. Real simple, real quick. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things in your life. And you can get so far gone that you can't even remember why you're angry. Or what started it. Be angry and say, to give place to the devil. Let him that stole, steal. Make a... It's okay to steal. Let him that stole, steal. But what it really says is, let him that stole, steal no more. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he might may have to give to him. You know, God, a deal of value. It esteems work highly. And you know what? It doesn't say that you have to have a fancy, cool job. But it says to work. It says we are to work. All work is honorable. Anything that we would do honestly is good. It says in Thessalonians, if you work, let them that work not eat, right? How does it say it? Second Thessalonians. Yeah, if you don't work, you don't eat. But it says to work. It says don't steal, but rather work. Labor, working with your hands, the thing which may have to him that needeth. And we're to work so that we have so we can give. It's pretty great. That's the opposite of the world. The opposite of the world is I'm going to amass everything for myself and keep everything for myself and try to get more for myself. We're to work so that we can give. See, so get rid of and put on. You know, put off, put on. Get rid of, tear down, build up. See, so we tear down the lying in our lives, we build up speaking the truth. We get rid of or tear down the thought to be angry and you know, hold that anger and we learn to get rid of it. We get rid of the idea of stealing, which, you know, doesn't have to be stealing things, but it can be stealing time. It can be stealing all kinds of stuff. You know, if you tell your boss you worked and you didn't, you've stole, right? Mm-hmm. Then it says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's a big one. That's a hard one. Because we need to learn to control our mouths, what we say. The word corrupt here is putrid. You know what putrid is, right? You ever have putrid food? It's a great word. It's one of those words that sounds like what it means. Putrid. Rotten. Let no rotten or putrid communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What a contrast between those two things. You know, you don't speak evil, you don't speak putrid, corrupt, rotten things, but you speak those things that which build up people and which minister grace to people and grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Those are things we're to put away, get rid of. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. We're to get rid of all those things. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Those are the things we're supposed to build in our lives. So it's a two-step process in building a godly life. It's you get rid of the worldly things, the things that are not in accordance with God's word, and you put the things in your mind and in your life that are godly. And this is some of the things in this chapter of Ephesians that tell us. And then we go to chapter 5, it says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, or imitators of God. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor. We're to walk in love as Christ also loved us and he gave. And so how are we to walk? Well, we're to be loving. We're to be kind. We're to be tenderhearted. We're to be forgiving to one another. And we're to walk in love as Christ walked in love. We're to be imitators of God. That's what we need to do. If you're going to walk a godly life, if you're going to live a godly life, we want to do the things that God says. We want to believe God every day. We want to be faithful. Well, this is part of being faithful. This is going to enable you to be faithful. You have to get rid of those things. You have to be vigilant with those worldly things that creep into your life and in your mind, those thoughts and those habits that are ungodly, and you have to get rid of them, put them off. And you have to put on the godly stuff, the stuff that God says we are to put on. Okay? So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and for taking care of us, that you've given us a word that is clear, that is straightforward, that is simple, that is logical, that is without ambiguity, that it's straightforward, that we can read it and we can see what we are to do. We are to see how we are to live our lives, that we can put those things into our life that are good, and we can get rid of those things that are not good. We can